Flynn, good morning, man. How you doing today?
Good morning to both of you. I'm good. Thank you.
Absolutely. Giants start off this road trip really well. 10-4. Feels like a very important road trip before the schedule really heats up here in June. We're excited about that. But let's start with something that was brought to our attention on Sunday, which was a passing of Roger Craig, Mr. Hum Baby himself, who helped change the culture here in San Francisco alongside Will Clark and Robbie Thompson. Of course, they had a great 89 team. I know you had many interactions with Roger Craig, who was a four-time World Series champ, passed away at the age of 93, lived a great life. How was Hum Baby to you? What will you remember about Roger Craig?
Yeah, he was a great man. He was a very distinguished man, even into, old age. I mean, he lived to be 93 years old. And all the way to the end, Roger was just a delight to be around, had a great laugh, great smile. I mean, I did love how Kruko called him, because there was an element, I think, that's true. Like, Mike called him the original Ted Lasso. And in a way, that is exactly right. Like, the Giants were an organization that was really good at feeling sorry for themselves. They weren't very good for a long time. They played at Candlestick. Nobody wanted to play at Candlestick. Nobody wanted to be there. Kruk has told the story many times on the air about how terrible he felt when he got traded to the Giants. It was like, no, I don't want to go there. You're talking about Mike Kruko, who's turned into like the ultimate all-time Giant.
Right.
But that's what it was like, and it's hard for those of us who have been around in the last 25 years, the era of Bonds and the ballpark and the World Championships and just the renaissance of Giants baseball, where no franchise has had more great times in a lot of ways than the Giants over the last many years. It's hard to take that perspective and remember how bad it was in the early 1980s, late 70s, early 80s. After Willie Mays left, it was just bleak. And, ultimately, Will Clark and that gang, you got to give those guys, the players on the field, get the credit. But Roger Craig deserves a lot of that, too, for not just changing the wins and losses, changing the whole attitude of the Giants, what it meant to put on the uniform, taking sort of a stigma away from Candlestick. Like, was Candlestick beautiful? It wasn't a great ballpark. It wasn't. But it ultimately had a lot of great memories for the Giants in those years, because they did learn how to love it and play well there. And so we are forever in his debt. He truly is. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. He's one of the most important figures in the history of the Giants franchise. We will always, always be indebted to him for that.
Yeah, that was really, really eloquent and well said. And I think Bonte and I both, that was our first guy, and we started first collecting cards and watching the Giants. My dad used to take me out to the family pavilion. Like, that was my dude, and he'd wear that like shiny windbreaker under the jersey. It's interesting because you were around Bochy for so long. I do think he shares a lot of Bochy qualities, like just in terms of kind of like old school, been there, done that, not too razzled. I mean, there's many ways to manage a team. There's many ways to get the best out of people. But I think he had a lot of Boch qualities.
I do, too. I do, too. I mean, I think, and first and foremost probably would be, and the secret power for so many people who are great at that job is caring about others.
Mm.
A genuine interest and care for other people, many of whom are very different from you. Bochy cares about everybody. And so did Roger Craig, like at a real human level. He really cared about people. And you don't fake that, and you don't fool anybody if you try to fake that. And with those two guys, it's really genuine. And the players, the front office people, the broadcasters, everybody felt that being around them, that this is somebody who cares about me, and I'm going to do my best for him. And, it's a real, genuine human quality that I think both of them really do share.
Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Of course, the voice of the Giants. You'll catch him on NBC Sports Bay Area. Today, call it Game 2 of the series between the Giants and the Rockies. The Giants approved to 30-30. Of course, Dave Fleming calls golf for ESPN, college football, college basketball. We will touch on golf in just a second here. But the house of horrors that is Coors Field. The Giants now 23-12 at Coors Field in the last four seasons. And that's because the bats show up and they hit more, and they scored just enough to hold off the Rockies there. Although Sean Manaea gave up a few runs yesterday, he was able to eat up innings. And that's how you draw it up in a bullpen game, right, Flim? You get some runs, you get some good hitting, and you get the pitching just to stabilize the game just enough to get out of there with the win.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know the term bullpen game makes some people just break out into a sweat. Like, they just hate the idea, hate the concept. But really, when you look at what last night was, it's really more about you've got a guy who's going to be your, quote, starter. And Manaea was that. I mean, he got 14 outs for him. That's not like a superstar starter, but that's a good starting pitcher. He gave him 4 2/3 innings, so you got that guy. Then how can you maybe manipulate the game a little bit around him to make the opponent construct the lineup in a way where you can more easily mix and match against them? And that's exactly what the Rockies did. It's what the Twins did. It's working for the Giants. They've gotten teams to sort of commit to a lineup that looks a certain way. And I know it's a small, subtle thing, but the second inning last night, Ryan Walker comes in instead of Manaea. Like, clearly Bud Black set the lineup up thinking that Manaea would be the second guy in. And instead of that, you steal three outs, 1 2 3, bang, 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 no problem. And it's Ryan Walker who does it, not Sean Manaea. And then Manaea starts against the left-handed part of the lineup, and it's a little gentler intro into the game, perhaps, for him. And it gets his momentum going in the game. Like, this concept right now is working well for the Giants. But I'm glad you brought him up because he was my player of the game pick last night. Yeah. And it was a much better performance than 4 2/3 and four runs would indicate. He threw the ball well. Yeah. He threw strikes. He attacked. He pitched like he had a lead, which he did. He should have been the winning pitcher. The official scorer gets discretion, and they should have given him the win. He was the most important pitcher for the Giants.
And Dave, I think you hit on something for the astute eye. Like, we obsess about numbers and box scores and stats, and the essence of baseball at times when you're a pitcher is when you have a lead, just throw strikes. And yeah, you might give up a couple runs, and you look up and you're like, oh, the guy gave up four runs. No, he was in complete control, and he wasn't walking guys. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think that sometimes we get a little bogged down with the numbers, and that kind of leads me into Bailey. You know, I would read all of the box scores from the minors, and I'm like, the bat seems like it's a work in progress, but he wins a gold glove defensively in the minor leagues, which is a big accomplishment. And then I'm watching him. I'm just going off the eyeball, and I'm like, oh, defensively, he's so much better than where Bart was and where Sable was, and for a variety of reasons. And it feels like the staff has really picked up to him receiving the ball behind the plate. And then I watch his at-bats, and I go, oh, he just gets it. Balanced swings, spraying it all over the place. Patrick Bailey's been a revelation, Dave.
Yeah, I agree. I've been impressed, and I didn't know exactly what to expect from him. He looks like he's been doing this for a long time. He does have that innate quality, and that really is what Buster had. Now, look, is he the player Buster was? No, he is not. Is he going to be Buster Posey? He is not. But we're talking about one of the all-time greats. That is not there's nothing that I'm saying negative about Patrick Bailey and saying he's not going to be Buster Posey. Buster Posey is a once-in-a-lifetime player at that position. But what the two of them share is that just sort of almost like inborn understanding of what that position requires, the demeanor of being on the field in the middle of all the chaos. And I think especially the ability to process these guys. You know, you guys know, I'm lucky enough to get an inside look at it every day. The amount of, like, grinded out preparation that these guys are doing every day is astonishing.
I heard he's very serious, Dave. I've heard from a couple people. Yeah, he's, like, more mature than his age.
He's serious, and when I first came across him, I almost thought it was going to be a problem. Like,
really,
dude, you can't be that serious all the time. And he's not like that. It was a total misread by me. He's he's more lighthearted and fun and easy to get along with. You know, sometimes the guys who are ultra serious, it's like nobody really wants to sit down next to that person because it's like, lighten up a little. He's not like that. He's a fun guy to be around, but he just has that ability, all that info that they pour on top of him. And he does it himself. It's not like they're forcing it on him, but all of the stuff that they give him and he just pours through every day, it just clicks with him. And in the speed of the moment of the game, he remembers it all. He retains all that stuff. It is a real talent and ability. He just gets it. And, yeah, a night like last night is exciting because the hitting part of it is almost like gravy. The hitting part of it for him is if he can be a solid major league hitter, you're talking about, I'm not exaggerating, you're talking about one of the most valuable players in the league. If he's a solid hitter, I think he's got the upside of like a franchise cornerstone player. No. If he's not, you know, he can still help you. He can still be a good big leaguer, even if he's a below average hitter. He's that good defensively. If he's a good hitter, you're talking about somebody that can help lead your team for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt. Fleming here, Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, joins us every single week. I want to talk about Lamont Wade Jr. here. I don't think he's gotten enough love here. He batted nearly 300 in the month of May. He's batting 462 so far in June. He's hitting with power. I think he's playing a damn good first base defensively, learning that position. How about the comeback and a resurgence of late night Lamont Wade Jr., Flem?
Totally agree. He's one of the best players in the game right now, and I mean that.
Wow.
Now, will that sustain? You know, I think he's got to prove that it can last for longer than 2.5 months, because, look, it's a, you know, this is a sport where you prove yourself over a longer period of time. But right now, he's one of the best players in the game. Bonds thing going. Now, he doesn't have the, he's hit 8 home runs, and he's hitting a lot of doubles, so it's not like he's not tapping into what Barry had, which almost nobody has had in the history of the game, is what Lamont has, plus, like, all-time great home run power. But Lamont is not swinging at balls, period. Like, if you don't throw a strike, he ain't swinging at it. But the difference is between Lamont and a lot of other guys who have a real good understanding of the strike zone, and this is what Barry did so brilliantly for all those years, is when you do throw him a strike or a mistake, he's on it. Like, the ability to, A, be passive enough to take all those bad pitches, and B, be ready. He swung at the first pitch of the game yesterday and ripped a double into the corner. Ready to go from pitch one. If you throw it where he's looking for it, he's swinging and he's going to hit it hard. And if you don't, he's not swinging. Like, that is the ultimate recipe for a good hitter. The guy's been awesome. I hope he keeps it up because, gosh, you're right. It's not getting enough attention here or everywhere. He's an all-star player right now.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that question. With him, Tyro Estrada coming back, going 3-for-5. How about J.D. Davis, Camilo Duvall at the back end of the bullpen, Logan Webb? Giants may have about 3 or 4 all-stars this year, Flem.
All those guys you just rattled off are deserving, all of them. Now, you know, I haven't gone through the whole. The all-star game has rules, and you got to fit players in, and you got to accommodate, you know, star power. Right. So it's likely that all those guys are not going to be on the team. Every single one of them can and deserves to be on the team. That's, you know, and when the three of us have been having these talks early in the year, that was what was so perplexing to me about the start for the Giants, because the Giants got off to this, you know, they're 6-13 or whatever, and everybody's moaning about another year of, and I understood it. It was ugly at times, but underneath that, so many good things were happening. Like, you don't often have a team that's really struggling like the Giants were early in the year with 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 players at where you're going, gosh, those guys are having a great year. If there was a big disconnect with some of the individual performances and the team record. And now I think you're starting to sync up a little bit more, the overall team record matching what is happening, which is the Giants have a bunch of guys who are having really good years.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, Lamont Wade defensively at first, I didn't think he'd be this good. He's been excellent. I want to squeeze in a couple quick things here because we're going to be up against it. But, Dave, first, any worry about Casey Schmidt's plate discipline? Quickly, yeah. Are you anything you were? Yeah. I know you had the day off yesterday. I've been kind of saying, guys, we don't want to take away from his aggression, but at the same time, yeah, slight development and being a little more disciplined.
Yeah, just a little worry. The numbers are not pretty after the first week. They aren't, and he's going to have to make that adjustment, and he absolutely can, and I am very confident that he will. Mm. And so the problem is, and where you have to thread the needle here, is the Giants think they're a playoff team. They're trying to contend. Casey gave them a huge jolt when they really needed it. But now how do you balance allowing a young player to learn while you also want to win games? Now, I think it's going to be easier with a healthier lineup. There's not, you know, if Casey's hitting eighth or ninth and you're getting production up and down, it's a lot easier to say, hey, go pick it clean. Play your great defense and work through some of your growing pains. That makes it a lot easier. So I hope that's what happens here. He's going to be a good player for the Giants, but you cannot exist at this level swinging at everything. You got to dial that in a little bit. You can still be a really aggressive, effective hitter, but he's got to make an adjustment, and he will. Look, the track record for Casey is, until these last 2 weeks, his whole career with the Giants, aggressive, but not like this. Not a chaser like this. This is just, to me, an anomaly in a young guy who's trying to do a little too much. This is not who he is. He's going to be an aggressive hitter, but more disciplined than this, and that's going to be a formula for success.
That's a reasonable opinion. All right, lastly, obviously you're a big golf guy, and so yesterday the news of the LIV Tour and PGA merging, I guess they're going to create an entire new entity. I don't know. I've got some very strong opinions on Jay Monahan. I feel like he's really, I just think he's a coward and a backstabber. What are your thoughts on, because obviously you're in the middle of this and you're someone that does a lot of tour broadcasts. You're involved in a lot of stuff with ESPN when it comes to the majors. You're a golf guy. What do you think about this entire thing going down?
Well, I mean, look, I can't believe, I guess, McIlroy this morning was pretty supportive of Monahan and pretty gentle in his commentary about what just happened. Rarely am I genuinely shocked. I was genuinely shocked yesterday when I heard that. And I just think, you know, putting aside whatever you think about the partnership with the Saudis and what they're trying to do and what this whole thing is going to look like and the ridiculousness of this, you know, grow the game, team golf,
so phony
thrown out there. It's unbelievably phony. Even putting all that aside, the idea that you could be so cynical to spend a year railing against these people and using 9/11, I think somehow have we forgotten what that day meant to this country? Using that event as a reason why you're opposed to this new golf league, you know, silliness of golf and sport, and using that event to be like your primary reason for not wanting to support or partner with this new league, and then turning around and doing this. Like, I don't understand how anybody could ever take anything that group says again seriously.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that I have a great association with two of the four majors. The four majors are independent of all this nonsense, and the four majors are still amazingly great sporting events, and I love the sport of golf. But the tour itself, how would you ever put any credibility again, ever, in anything that they say? I don't know how you would.
Like, Jay's a fraud to me.
I can't remember a more 180 turn. I cannot remember a more cynical thing than what just happened. It's hard to believe.
That's incredible. That's well said, Dave. We don't want to get you in trouble. We don't want to mess those checks up.
Sorry for the indelicate question, Dave.
So you keep that money in your pocket, man. You do a great job when it comes to the golf covers on ESPN. Flynn, we'll talk to you next week. Let's see where the Giants are at. Good opportunity to get healthy.
Yes.
To get the bats rolling, to get a win streak going on before they take on the big boys with the Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Cardinals. I mean, it's going to get real, real tough here in June, but you got a chance to stack some wins up against the Colorado Rockies and the Chicago Cubs. So they're off to a good start. Logan Webb Day. Let's see what he does today. Flynn, have a great call today.
That's well said. It's a big week for the Giants, and let's just see if they can keep everybody together for more than a couple days.
Yes.
I think if they do, good things are going to happen.
No doubt, Flynn. Have a great call today, man. Thanks for the time.
Talk to you guys soon.